You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong, but most of all,
welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Dr. Paul Esposito. I am a senior pastor of Island Community Church here on 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. And just want to say good morning, good afternoon. Maybe it's 5:30 in the afternoon. You are tuned into WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thanks for joining us here today. This is the radio ministry of Island Community Church. And speaking of Island, we invite you to come out to one of our services. Just gave you the address, 1000 North Banana River Drive. We meet Wednesdays at 6 for Bible study, and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Sunday school starts at 9:30 to 10:15. For more info on the ministry, I encourage you and invite you to go visit the website. That's islandcommunitychurch.net. And there's some 10 years, 15 years of prior sermons uploaded on there. When you find the right page, it says a prior broadcast. Our statement of faith is on there and what's going on at the church. Thanks for taking 30 minutes to join us here today. You're going to hear now something I preached recently, about a month ago or so. And that is the book of Ephesians. We just wrapped it up. So today's sermon is called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. We'll let this opening play here Monday and Tuesday. We'll be back again Wednesday with my sermon from last Sunday on Moses. And I'll be inviting you to midweek Bible study here coming on Wednesday. But here it is, Monday and Tuesday. Let's get into the Word now. The Apostle Paul preaching, teaching us out of Ephesians chapter 2 and what he called the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Are we on, Carol? Praise God. Okay, does everyone have a handout for today? Everyone's got one. Raise your hand if you need one. Otherwise, we're going to get right into the Word of God here this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. I have a title of this sermon, the Apostle Paul has entitled this, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. What a great study and time we're having here through the book of Ephesians, aren't we? Remember when we got started, I mentioned our spiritual bank account, things like adoption. These are things that you guys possess in your spiritual bank account. You just can't see them. Sometimes you can. Adoption, acceptance, redemption. So far we focused on those in these two chapters. He chose us in him before the foundations of the world. We are accepted in the beloved. That's number two. Number three, we are redeemed by the blood. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. I could add to that. Number four, access. This is something else in your spiritual bank account. You now have access to God. We have access to the Father. We learned last week that Jesus fulfilled the law. And he made it, now catch the word here, inoperative in a Christian's life. Not destroy, but he rendered it inoperative. See, you are now in the grip of God's grace this morning. Hallelujah is right. What a good, was there any other place you'd rather be on this 20th day of November, year of our Lord, 2022, than in the grip, that is the right year, isn't it? Than in the grip of God's grace. You see, people want to play and do play Dr. Frankenstein all the time by reanimating the law. But it's really easy. You see, Jesus plus, so many people want to do. But it's Jesus and nothing equals, Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That's the book of Galatians. But the law is inoperative, and there are a whole lot of Dr. Frankensteins out here that want to revive the law and put it in your life. Jesus plus. Jesus plus going to church on Saturday. Jesus plus tithing 80%. Jesus plus not stepping on a crack, breaking your mother's back. Whatever unreasonable thing you could never do. The law is not abolished, it's just inoperative. He even said himself he didn't come to abolish the law. This from the New Living Translation, Ephesians 2:14. It says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." Listen to this verse. Ephesians 2:15 from the NLT. "He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and its regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new man from the two groups." This is the main teaching in this book here. But I love that. He did this by ending the system of law. Another verse to write in your margin there would be Romans chapter 10, verse 4. That says, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe." That means no longer do you have to try to keep rules to be right with God. You're now right with God through believing and receiving his son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes you right. He's the end of the law. No more law. The law was our tutor, as we read in Galatians chapter 3, the law was our tutor or schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. That was the purpose. But again here, this is why we all, the one new group, read this one New Testament. New Testament of Jesus Christ. This is our holy book, which gives to us the instructions of life. The New Testament of Jesus Christ. We don't read and study the Torah. Now, I'll tell you what. When you are done mining the unsearchable riches of Christ, as we're about to read today, then you feel free to move on to the Torah. But first, either stop by my office or stop by Pastor Darren's office and tell us you've gleaned all that there is from the New Testament and that you're now ready to fall under the law and start studying that now. Anybody there yet? You see, keep in mind, if once for all isn't enough for you, because remember, Jesus, once for all, one sacrifice for all of time and every person. If once for all isn't enough for you, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Jesus can't do any more for you than what he's already done. One sacrifice, you receive it or you fall away. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. People that had received it, but then you know what? They let these deceivers say, "Oh, that's not enough. It's Jesus plus." than keeping all of these rules. And whoever wrote the book of Hebrews said, if you do that, you're done. You're toast. Because there's nothing else Jesus can do other than die on the cross and shed his blood for you. There's nothing left for you if Jesus isn't enough. Here's one last paragraph from chapter 2, verse 19. It says, now therefore. Now remember who he's talking about here. He's talking about Jesus united the Jews and the Gentiles to make one group together. Jesus made one group out of the two. That's why he wrote this. Jesus made one group out of the two. So, let me go on. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Sweet, I love that. I'll even be a butler. You know, from now on, I decided, church, why don't you guys call me Jeeves from now on? Pastor Jeeves W. Esposito. I like that. I'd rather be a butler in his house or a doorkeeper than anything else. Members of the household of God, having been built, verse 20, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone or capstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a spiritual place of God, or in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. All right, this word stranger, it's the Greek word paraoikos. Para means alongside of. Oikos means house. Wow. A stranger means to come alongside of a house. So this is like you come alongside of a house, you see, and you're a stranger. And there's this delicious smell of bread just wafting from the house. Can't you smell it? And you see, you take your fingers and you scrape off the frost from the glass. You're alongside the house, but you're not in, you see. That's all you can do. You can scrape off. It's like a windshield in New Jersey in February. You scrape off that snow. That's what Gentiles were. I had a vision this morning, and my office had me in tears. When I was praying over this, Lord showed me my brother inside that house that just died. And they are making bread. The Bible says that because of Jesus and what he has done, praise God, you are no longer a stranger and a foreigner. Remember what we've learned. It says, through him, you see, that's the door. Through him, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's right here, Ephesians 2:18, or Romans 5:2. It says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus himself said in John 10:9, I am the door. You see, no longer is what I'm trying to say to you, is you don't have to peer in like this. From now on, Jesus says, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Simple as that. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I am the door. And the Apostle Paul, again, is here saying, Jesus is the one who has made all of this possible. All to him I owe. Some people try to jump and hop over the fence. But you see, you got to go in through the door, because when you go in through the door, he gives you these special clothes and he gives you a new name written on a white stone that no one knows but you and him. We read about all these techies, right? All these nerdy guys, right, Cameron? These guys that can crack all this code and steal your Bitcoin and everything. You're not stealing your Bitcoin here. You might jump over the fence because you think you've outwitted someone, but you're still going to have the clothes that he hands out. You still got to go through this door. You still got to have the white stone with your new name written on it that no one knows but you and him. No matter how slick you are. All right, one last thing. And no, not one last thing before we go home. Kidding me? Look at what's going on the inside of you. Look again at verse 22. In whom you... Notice it doesn't say that you were, if you got a good Bible, or it doesn't say that you will be. This is a present active participle in Greek, a word with ing on the end of it, like sleeping, rowing, eating, drinking, living, exercising, hiking. Here it's in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, you are under construction. He's not done. Just like Paul said, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. For you, it's either the day you leave this world or the day he cracks these guys and comes back. You are a work in progress. So, God's rung your doorbell, and guess what? He's moving in with you. He doesn't want much. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your food. There's only one thing God wants from you. Guess what that is? It's like the old Uncle Sam poster, right? I want you. That's all he wants. He just wants you. This is why you hate the things now, all the evil in the world, things maybe you used to like and now you hate. Because God's taken up residence on the inside of you. This is another part of this mystery here. All right, now let's move on to chapter 3. Let's turn the fan on. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, big word, but not really a dispenser. When I was a kid, I used to have this thing with candy in it. Remember what that was? All right, old church knows it. Doink! It was a Pez dispenser. You got one of those, Amanda? Or two, one for each kid. A Pez dispenser. See, Paul, and you, you're a dispenser of God's grace wherever you go. You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, that's him, for you guys. How that by revelation he made known to me this mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which, this is verse 4, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. That means Jeremiah didn't know it, Ezekiel didn't know it, Peter didn't know it, John didn't know it. None of these guys knew it. This was a special revelation. So again, which in other ages was not known, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. All right, two things. Number one, Paul is saying here, very important, that he was not taught this stuff. All of this stuff, everything we look at, he was not taught this by a man. He received it as a revelation from Jesus Christ. So let's go back a little bit. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Let me read something to you from the book of Acts, chapter 9. Let's look at Paul's life before this happened. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then Saul, this was his Hebrew name, Saul. Then Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and he asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. All right. This was who this guy used to be, the Apostle Paul. He was a very bad man, and he hated Christians with a passion. His whole life was going door to door, dragging out Christians, seeing that they were put to death, or at least delivered over to the authorities. All right, so here he is, riding on his horse one day. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly this light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, timi diokais. And he answered and said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, ego eimi Iesus. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but not seeing anyone. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. All right, he's blind. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. That's the great Apostle Paul, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And this, Paul said in the Galatians, he said, for I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, all this stuff that we are taught, all of this word of God that we're taught, everything that he has shares with us, do not come from a manual or a textbook or a secondhand teaching. He didn't hear it from someone and he's writing it down. All of what we know and understand in the Bible came from a direct revelation from God, from Jesus, the Son of God, to the Apostle Paul. That's how you can put your faith and trust in what you read. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the heroes. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. not celestial shore, I'll fly away. Life are gone, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. By and